Well, welcome, ladies. I think we'll start. Thanks for coming. We're going to have our message about seeing Christ in the home. Is this okay, the mic? Is that too weird? Okay. And my verse I really like is Ephesians 3:17a, that Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts by faith. Let's turn to Romans 12, please, and I'll read some scripture. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble, and do not be wise in your own opinion. Why don't we have a word of prayer quick? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this message tonight, and I pray that it could uplift you and point us to Jesus Christ and help the women here listening to want to know you more. And I pray that we are comforted by Christ indwelling in our hearts through the Holy Spirit and open our eyes to others in need and how we can encourage and help them by your grace and how the Lord does give strength and peace beyond what we could imagine. And in Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, welcome back to the Ladies' Bible Study. And I'm so encouraged and humbled that you guys would come here tonight. And this is a message to me, and I hope it will encourage you in your home. Let's start with the definition of home. To be among one's own people, a place of habitation or residence. Our homes are changing all our lives. Now, I know someone who has moved maybe 30 times since their marriage, and they live down south, and they felt the need to do it, and they were able to. But that's not exactly what I'm talking about here. I've only moved twice in my whole life and over the past 6 years, and yes, I'm 60. First, I was living at home with my parents in Duluth, and that's where I grew up. And then I was married, and I moved to the range, a trailer house with my new husband and a wonderful mother-in-law living across the driveway. Then I went to being married with 6 children, and we ended up moving into my mother-in-law's house in time after she had passed away. And I had another baby, and then the kids grew up, and we were empty nesters, and after the kids went off to college, and then to a widow living alone. And now I'm a widow living with my adult son who runs the farm. Christ makes his home in our hearts by faith through the Holy Spirit. For salvation, we must see that we are sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that our good works can never atone or pay for our sins to get us into heaven. Romans 4:5, but to him that does not work, leaning on his own good works, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, on Christ's work, his faith is counted for righteousness. For salvation, we must believe that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, and that is the gospel, the good news. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. At that moment, we believe we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and he's the seal of our salvation, John 14:16. And I pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And the Holy Spirit is the power source that makes the Christian life work. And we could never lose our salvation because we are protected by the Father, John 10:28-29, and I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. We're going to talk about various homes that we live in today, but I'm going to give a little caveat here. Many of these homes, I give a little advice, and these are only suggestions and ideas, and I have not lived through all of these homes, these scenarios, but I've observed many of them, and I've spoken to the people that have lived through them, and I've been very humbled and encouraged by what they have learned as they have leaned on the Lord. Number one is living with teenagers. At this point, you are only beginning to, and I'm talking to teenagers here, at this point, you are only beginning to understand the Lord and His love for you. Honor your parents. Be thankful. This is a special time in your relationship with the Lord and your parents. Psalms has great advice for you. Psalms 1:1-2. Blessed is the man, teenager, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, follows the world and to get his friend's approval, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Now, the Lord may not seem real to you when you want what you want, and you can't understand why the Lord is not allowing it, or everything seems like a no, and you feel very odd among your unsaved friends. But God's no's are a path to a really great yes later on. Your parents can see what you can't. Your unsaved friends only know the way of the world for dating, entertainment, etc. Invite them to your home, or to the youth group, or Sunday school, or a small group Bible study. Bring them on your turf to see things differently and hear the gospel. And this is a message to moms with children, little children, and don't compare your children or parenting skills with others. Parents can get prideful and look down their nose at other families. Remember, raising kids takes a lot of prayer and humility. Your kids will have their turn in embarrassing you too. Just wait. You need to build your relationship with the Lord, and your kids will see what you love. And hopefully, they will want that too. If God is real in your life, and the bumps along the road come, bring things before the Lord in front of your kids and always admit when you're wrong. It's so good for them to see that you make mistakes and how you handle them because they're watching you. Don't worry about being a perfect parent. Instead, abide in the Lord. Let who He is and His love for you be your joy and rest in Him. And let your imperfections humble you. But thank the Lord that He offers strength and wisdom to you. Proverbs 13:10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Some teenagers can be like lawyers from the devil. They have watched you for years, and they know where to hit with their words and what buttons to push. And sometimes they just want excuses to do what they want to do. Oh, I see the Lord didn't help you there. Well, that wasn't very Christian. And you are the meanest parents because of blank. Parents are not perfect. That's why Christ died for us. But when we were chosen by God, warts and all, for our children. Love your teenager. Pray for them daily. Ask the Lord for wisdom as how to parent them, how to speak to them. Know that when they stomp up the stairs and slam the door, tomorrow it will be over because they will want something else. And it's a whole different story. It's a tough job, this roller coaster, and you need the Lord. It's Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 24:3-4. Through wisdom a house is built, And by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, I'm moving on to homes with newlyweds or married couples without children. A message to the newlyweds. There will be an adjustment period after the honeymoon is over. Be patient. Don't hold your grudges when your husband says, "I'm sorry." You forgive, because God doesn't hold grudges against you. Don't become prideful or envious of other wives, or don't compare your life with theirs. Seek the Lord. Learn how to love your husband. Proverbs 14, verse 1, a wise woman builds her house, but foolish pulls it down with her hands. Take time to talk to someone who has been married for a long time. It can be so encouraging. Titus 2, 4, NLD version, older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands. Now, with married couples without children, the same goes for you. Seek to know the Lord. Thank the Lord for your blessings. Pray about where the Lord could use you. Love on your nieces and nephews. Help a family with kids. I had a lady who asked me when I had five under five and two in school, "Can I help you with your kids one day a week?" I called her my angel from heaven. She took them in the morning, kept them all day, brought them home in their pajamas, ready to go to bed. She even bought toothbrushes and toothpaste for them. And she just loved doing it. And she said, "I had five under five at one time, and I know what it's like. So I'm giving you a day off. I don't care if you sleep or go to the store. I don't care what you do. It's your day off." I couldn't believe it. And it was such a great help to me. Single parents could always use a helping hand. Also, adoption is always an option for foster parenting or foster parenting. And if you have love to give, this can be a life-changing thing for yourself and the child the Lord gives you. Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which has made heaven and earth." In Psalms 32:8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Single women, and now we're moving on to single women and widows. I stand up here, my nose runs. Start by building your relationship with the Lord. You have time on your hands to read undistracted. Let the Lord speak to you through His Word. Get a devotional. Write each day what encouraged you. Pray that the Lord would open your eyes about Himself, His character, and pray about where He might use you. Spend time with women who are wise in the Lord. Proverbs 8, 10 through 11, "Receive my instruction, not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord." Proverbs 31:24. And now we'll talk about single or divorced women with children at the home. It's a tough job to do alone. But with the Lord, nothing is impossible. Remember, in the church, you have resources. Use them when you need to. You need fellowship with other believers. And a friend. You need to find someone you can prayerfully speak to about your struggles. A mature Christian woman who has already been there. Doesn't have to be the same scenario, but they've lived through some hard things. A fruitful tree that you can pick the fruit. And you will be surprised how much insight the Lord can give you through these ladies. Hebrews 13:6, "The Lord is my helper, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Thessalonians 5:11. And for you wives living with an unsaved husband, this is something I added so it might not be in the notes, or a difficult husband who has walked away from the Lord, a very difficult situation indeed. Have a close friend in the Lord that you can get encouragement from. Don't be afraid to go to the pastor because some situations are just too hard to handle by yourself. The Lord can help you with this. It seems impossible when you get discouraged, though. The Lord is with you. He will never leave you, and He can bring you strength and peace. Keep praying for your husband. God is the only one who can change the unchangeable. And God gives encouragement where there seems to be none. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Isaiah 43:2. Now I'm going to talk to grandchildren or grandchild living with grandparents. I'm talking to the grandparents. The woman. If you only have your grandkids living with you, there may have been some tough things already going on. Count it a privilege. You have an invaluable opportunity to bring them up in the Lord. In the Bible, there are prominent men and women who were greatly influenced by their mothers, their grandmothers, even their mothers-in-law. You will need God's wisdom, which you can ask for daily. James 1:5. I pray this every day. You can't wear it out. Keep close to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us to triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is upon you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded that is in you also. And I think of Ruth. She was so influenced by her mother-in-law. If you have both your children and grandkids living in your home, it's a privileged situation, but a very trying situation. Exhausting, especially for the grandparent if they are in your home. Hopefully you are not doing all the work, cooking, cleaning, yard work, paying the bills. Now I realize there are extenuating circumstances and they could be between jobs or whatever, but hopefully they are helpful with things. I think that's the hardest part. And actually, to keep your mouth shut at the right time, and I probably have trouble with that. I don't know. You know, yeah, when you're living together. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And now we're going to talk about a home with a special needs child. The Lord may bless you with a child or grandchild with special needs. Special needs is a broad term. It can run the gamut from mild issues to severe. You could have a child somewhere on the autism spectrum, or the Lord could give you a child with some kind of physical problem, or they could have ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. But make no mistake, that child is God's blessing to you and you to them. Let God show you His grace in the situation. And grace may surprise you with God's presence in the details of your daily routine. God's grace, even in the small things in life, is never small grace. You have a personal investment in your child's life, so trust the one who has a personal investment in you. He proved His love at Calvary, and in the shadow of the cross, the greatest display of victory over disability and weakness, God reaches out to you and your child in love. He cares about you, and He cares about your child. 1 Peter 5:7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. In Ephesians 3:20-21, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to talk to empty nesters. We all miss our kids and worry about them when they head off to college or what move out of the house. My husband and I tried to help our kids wherever we could, And we'd give them advice like, no, your junky college car will not take you to Florida and back with your six friends. Do not plan anything like that. And the next week, one of our boys went to a park, maybe an hour away from college, and the car broke down. So a friend towed it back to college, and John and I came down to tow it home at Thanksgiving. And we had to drive all night on the way back. His school is 8 hours away. On the way back, because there was an ice storm just behind us. And when my husband got home, he decided that my son would fix the car himself. And I thought, what? He's never worked on a car. I thought that was a bit hard for the boy, but John insisted, no, he knew it. He couldn't believe his dad was making him do that. Plus, it was on Thanksgiving break, and it had to be done by Saturday night. But John knew he had friends that fixed cars, and he spoke to their dad about it. And John paid for all the parts, and our son would fix the car in their garage. Well, he did it. And he was so surprised. His confidence was sky high after that. He wanted tools for Christmas, and he was very enthusiastic about maintaining his car after that. His excitement has not changed over time since he bought a house. He has now put a car lift in his garage. And he just took one of the junk cars out of our yard, and I'm like, yes, because he's putting the motor in another car. Okay. And so you empty nesters may miss your kids, but remember, they never stop needing you, even if it's just your love and approval. Keep in contact in a loving way. You don't have to approve of what they're doing, whatever they're doing, but let them know you are there for them and God is too. And pray, pray, pray. God can work in their hearts even when they're far away. And they may have some bad habits, and be careful to give them what they need, not just money. Buy groceries, a new coat, help them fix their car. And, well, if they can't pay their bills, then they can move home. But under your roof and under your rules, they may try harder to be more responsible if that's the alternative. But it's also a time that can be very lonely for the parents. Suddenly you are going to church by yourself if you're divorced or alone, or just with your husband. Life is so quiet, you can hear the clock tick. It's hard to make food only for one or two. This is where we can use our extra time to visit and encourage someone or spend more time with the Lord. Romans 5:15, verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. We'll talk about parents or parents living with adult children. Perhaps you are living with your children in their home. And thank the Lord for all his blessings. Remember, no child is perfect, and neither is any parent. You may be biting your tongue or going to your room, but thank God you can. You are in their home, and they need to be comfortable enough to make mistakes, knowing that you are not judging them. That's just a reminder to pray for them and love on them. And speaking to the daughter-in-law or daughter who is taking care of their parent, maybe you have a parent living with you, and bless your heart. What a privilege to give back. It's a lot of work and patience, especially if they are really sick or have cognitive issues. Don't do it alone. Pray for strength and wisdom from the Lord. And also having your parents and caring for them honors your father and mother. Not everyone has the ability to do this. But if you can, it will be a blessing to you and them. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that may be well with you and may live long on the earth. Psalms 143, verse 8, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you I do trust. Cause me to know the way which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. All right, and then we'll talk about living in a health care facility or assisted living. Some people in those places feel very forgotten and lonely. There's always prayer to and love to give. Everyone else feels the same way. You've got to remember that in that facility. They all feel the same way. I heard of a friend's mom doing a Bible study with her friends. I think she just read a devotional and scripture. But the ladies came every week. And another lady I know gathers in her building with a bunch of ladies to pray and encourage one another regularly. And that's their Bible study. They gather an hour before and talk and pray, and all the women look forward to it too. And you can encourage and reflect Christ anywhere, because everyone needs love and prayer and the gospel. Also, give a friend a call. You know, if you're in one of those facilities, if you have a phone, you can call a friend and let them know you're praying for them, or vice versa, we can call them. Give them a verse that encourages you, maybe just what they needed. And whenever you are lonely, remember the Lord is with you. He lives within you. And you have a purpose to those you love and those around you. Your love and prayers are important. And people have died from no love. So whatever your home is, you're not alone. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to ways you can love on others, pray for them, or wisdom and strength in your home and what is going on around there, people you could talk to. Thank the Lord whenever you can, and use this time to draw closer to Him, to know Him more. And also, it's such a comfort as we get older, we can feel set aside in our minds, but there's always something new with the Lord. And talking to people that want to visit them, friends in assisted living, etc., would love a visit. Bring a love devotional in your Bible and read it along, read them for them, and it will start a great conversation and encourage you both. Bring a lunch or a snack so they don't have to do anything except make coffee or have tea water ready. I now go to visit a long-term health care facility with my 83-year-old widow friend, and we visit other widows and elderly in their apartments or houses. And these people are so rich in wisdom and history and love. They also appreciate every bit of love and kindness we have to bring. The ones that are believers usually encourage us more than we encourage them. They matter to us. We care about them, and we pray for them. One of our friends, her name is Carla. She was saved. She's passed on now, but she had a hard time completing a thought sometimes. So there would be long pauses in the conversation, and she would tell you, "Don't interrupt," while she was in the back room of her mind fetching her thought. It got worse as time went on, but she was never angry or mean. A wonderful lady. And one time, we're in the lunchroom, and she's sitting over here, and I thought she was just sleeping, and I'm witnessing to this guy right here. And I started to quote John 3:16, and as soon as I was done, she piped up and quoted verse 17 and 18. And I told her, "Oh, Carla, we were good as a team witnessing." "Yeah!" You know, she said. And so after that, whenever I was talking to someone, I'd say, "Carla, can you quote us John 3:16 through 18? She'd be happy to do it. And it was really, really something. It was so encouraging. Romans, 1 Corinthians 6:14, "Let all you do be done in love." Remember, those people need love, and everyone needs love. Till the day you die, you can always give love and encouragement and pray. "Yet in all these things," Romans 8:26, "we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." And 2 Corinthians 3:4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Now we're going to look at our church home. The local church is considered the home of faith family of believers. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And notice I didn't say we're perfect and that we don't say stupid things or hurtful things. We're all sinners, saved by grace, and the only thing that draws us together is Jesus Christ. My brother-in-law told me an interesting thought. He said, you know, when we think of Christ on the cross, he was beaten to a pulp, unrecognizable as a man. That tells me that grace is messy. Grace is messy, and we are a mess. And the church is full of us. And the only redeeming quality that has helped the church is when God is reflecting himself through us. And he does it, not us. We need to be looking at Jesus Christ and his work for us and rest in that and let that humble us. We are nothing, and he is everything. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified yourselves in obeying the truth, believing on Jesus Christ, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And I'm going to talk a little bit about hospitality, because even though the Lord Jesus had nowhere to lay his head, Lazarus and Mary and Martha gave him a home when he needed. So did Peter and his wife. And we can open our homes to others as well. In 1 Peter 4, verse 9 through 11, it says, be hospitable one to another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it one to another as stewards of the manifold grace of God. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, in whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There's so much in this passage. And apparently, we grumble when we're hospitable. I struggled with this for years, and sometimes I still do. I've never had a fancy house. I live on a farm, and farm stuff happens. My husband, John, as amazing as he was on many other levels, was not a carpenter, nor did he care about that kind of stuff. When he fixed things, oh boy, you never knew how much JB Weld, duct tape, and spray foam was going to be involved. And usually, I tried to hire someone once when I could afford it, and I did what I could, but I wasn't the greatest either. I was afraid of power tools for many years until my friend Betty helped me out, and the drill was my first power tool I bravely started to use. And wow, when I got the hang of it, it was amazing. Zoop, and the screws in. Where have you been all my life? I mean, it is great. And yep, that helped a lot. And I'm still scared of a lot of power tools, but you know, I'm sure when I start to use them, it'll slowly go away. I always prayed the Lord would clean my house, or give me more energy to do it. And it never happened. But I cleaned my house. The problem is it wouldn't stay that way. And it seemed company came anyway. I had to realize I needed to be used where I was at. Maybe a perfect house was not what the company needed. And they may have needed to see that I was a real person with piles of papers here and there, a fridge loaded with pictures and magnets, and dirty dishes in the sink, and a bit of dirt on the floor. Oh, I love the signs they have now. You can now put up a sign for people when they come in the door to explain everything they see. It's so freeing. Our house is clean enough to be healthy and dirty enough to be happy. Oh, everyone wants to save the earth, but no one wants to help mom with the dishes. Oh. Housework can kill you, but why take the chance? Can't sleep. My home isn't messy. It's just custom designed by 7 kids and 3 dogs. My house was clean yesterday. Sorry you missed it. You know what made cleaning more fun? A maid. Both of us can't look good at the same time, so it's either me or the house. When I clean, now this isn't me, but I thought it's funny. I clean when I'm frustrated. So if you show up unannounced and the house is clean, you may want to reconsider your visit. My daughter wanted a Cinderella theme party, so I invited all her friends over and made them clean the house. Cleaning the house fascinates everyone in my family. They can all sit and watch me for hours. Cleaning with children in the house is like brushing your teeth while eating Oreos. We need to focus on the Lord and His love for us and not ourselves. In that light, prepare for company as unto the Lord. What does that mean? Thank the Lord for what you have. None of us has a perfect house all the time, and that's okay. Well, maybe some more than others, but relax. What is our goal in being hospitable? That God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Seek not to have a perfect house, but to bring honor and glory to God by enjoying Him. Maybe God wants to glorify Himself with your imperfect house. Well, then, make a path, clear the table, heat up some coffee, and call someone up. But let God work in the circumstances. Because no one may be available when you have time for company, or, you know, you have to just be open to what God may have for you. And I find that more people come for the company, the kindness, and the love than the perfect house. And hopefully that's what they will remember. And pray about your struggles and seek to bring honor and glory to God and rest in the Lord. You know, people don't visit each other as at their houses as much as it seemed like we used to, because we'd have church on Sundays two times, and that would be company day. You know, you could go to church and then go to have somebody over with the kids and stuff, and then it was done when we went to church again in the evening. But now, with both parents working, it's hard not to be too tired to want to spend time preparing for and having company. Pray about it. Reach out, and you never know how God can use you. Everyone seems to be going through something, and just a little kindness can go a long way and can be very refreshing. And when someone invites you over, watch your kids. Don't let them investigate every room of the house. You may need to lecture the kids on how to behave at other people's houses and manners in the car just before you get out. Don't let them take huge portions of food and not eat. The host doesn't want to see half of her food go in the garbage because you gave them a full plate and they ate two bites. You know, they give them what they will eat. Kids eat less when playing with their friends. And make them say please and thank you. Tell them beforehand what is expected. And kids forget all the rules when company comes over. Even my own kids. At my own house, I mean, one time I went in my bedroom and my bed is kind of broken. We had boards, you know. My oldest daughter and her friend jumping on the bed. I'm like, what? Since when do you get to jump on my bed? I don't know. Well, get out of here. Okay. You know, I don't know. What were you thinking? I don't know. Help with cleaning up and try to get your kids to clean up their mess of toys and whatnot. They don't need to learn. They can trash somebody's house and leave it. Also, it was always fun to do dishes and continue visiting with the women and cleaning up dinner. Bring some food. Don't come with a whole family and offer nothing. As the host takes your guest's offer and try to think of something they can bring. Dessert, or maybe something. Someone's on a special diet and they can bring the alternative, so you don't have to stress about it. For example, if you have spaghetti on the menu, someone's gluten-free, they can bring zoodles, zucchini noodles. And 1 Peter also mentions that each one of us has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This tells me that we all have the gift of hospitality, and we all can do it. And we are to use it to minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, the Bible Knowledge Commentary says a steward is one who serves as a house manager. He has no wealth of his own, but distributed his master's wealth according to his master's will and direction. What is our master's wealth? The manifold grace of God. The gift stems from God's grace. God's grace is manifested in believers as they serve one another in love, in kindness, in gentleness, patience, meekness, humbleness, encouragement, and forgiveness. We need the Lord to do this, and we are distributing God's grace to others as our Father has directed. We have no merit of our own. Simply as God gives opportunity, we reflect His grace to others as He has shown us. Early Christians were known for their hospitality. In Romans 12, verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And doubtless, this is the reason that the gospel spread with such rapidity in the church's formative years. Early house Christians and evangelists were dependent on hospitality. And the early church took heart the words of Jesus himself. I was a stranger, and you invited me in Matthew 25:35. And ultimately, hospitality may be considered the best bridge between believers and unbelievers. It's a great witnessing tool. God's love and humbly sharing His grace to the glory of God must be our motivation. Otherwise, we become annoyed with the inconvenience of it all or irritations that will manifest themselves. Ultimately, we want God to be glorified, and if in fact He is, we in the company end up being more blessed by the visit than we ever thought possible. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind toward one another, and this is to lift up Jesus Christ. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Don't be arrogant or prideful. Be humble. You don't know everything. No matter where your home is, you can do these things. You can be used of the Lord in your home, whether it's praying for others or a phone call or taking people overnight or opening your home to help someone recover from surgery. And I have a little story about this for you. I was in a spot. My husband had just died, but my friend Becky needed help after a back surgery. It was no small thing. It required not just putting a meal on the table, but physical therapy, which we had no idea. God guided us through the whole thing, and we had 3 weeks because I had other things going on. 2 children were getting married within the next month, and God encouraged us daily. He brought us through it, and we both benefited from it. And I wouldn't say I would want to go back, but I would never trade it, because God is healing us both. Also, you can help with someone having an illness or hosting a Bible study or simply have tea or coffee with a friend just to encourage them. Maybe you can go out to a place, Starbucks or a restaurant. You know, if you're a person that's more comfortable going out to eat, so invite another person, even a person in assisted living, or, you know, senior high rise, they may love to get out and go for coffee or lunch. Or you can make a plate or a meal for someone. These are just ideas. And don't think you have to do it right now. Pray about your ideas. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to His will for you. Remember, we're only stewards of His grace. We have nothing outside of the Holy Spirit and what the Lord has given us. And through it all, we want to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Proverbs 24:3-4. By wisdom a home is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Our home is our base of operation. We all need some kind of headquarters. And remember the movie The War Room? I don't know if you guys watched it, but it's a good movie. It's a good, wholesome movie, but I like it. Her headquarters in her base of operation was her war room, a little closet area that was all cleared out and with nothing but a chair and papers and notes taped to the wall. And these were prayer lists of people she was praying for and notes of answered prayer. We all need a place to go and read God's word and pray, whether it's a couch or a kitchen table or a special room. Prayer seems like such a small act, but it can have life-changing effects. Prayer works. Not always are prayers answered in the way or the timeline that would make sense to us, but we need to trust that God knows what he's doing. And stop trying to figure God out. And let the word of God comfort your heart and open your eyes to his love and who he is. He is worthy of our trust. In our homes, this little place could be the most comforting place. As believers today, we are chosen and sanctified and set apart. And the Lord has made his home in our hearts. And the Lord abides in our hearts by faith. 2 Chronicles 7:15-16. Now my eye will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be here forever. And last, and the most important home is our heavenly home, my Father's house. We have a house not made with hands in the eternal in the heavens, 2 Corinthians 5:1. John 14:1-2, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. 2 Corinthians 2:9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him, those who love him. Our heavenly home was designed by the architect of the ages. Our heavenly architect knows our desires and our likes and our dislikes. And he said it's beyond our imagination. But he gives us examples of his handiwork. Because he cares about us, remember as he went as far as sending his own son to suffer and die for our sins. So you know he cares about your heavenly home. And our heavenly home was surpassed the beauty of earth's most magnificent scenery, mostly because he will be there. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, will welcome us as our loving Heavenly Father, who has suffered for us and patiently waited for us as his brilliant plan unfolded. And we will agree it was brilliant because we will see him. And we will say, Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power, for you created all things. So as we look forward to our heavenly home, let it encourage us as we live in our earthly homes that we have this loving Lord who has made our hearts his home to strengthen and empower and give us the ability to use our homes to honor and glorify him in the here and now. Now, how do we see Christ in our house, in our home? No matter what home we're in, the Lord is present with us, abiding in our hearts. And we can worry, fuss, and struggle and try to figure things out. Or we can make a choice and lay it at the foot of the cross and trust God and his word against all the world's wisdom tells you. And we make a choice day by day and sometimes moment by moment. By faith we take God at his word and put our trust in him, for we can do nothing. Seek to know him and his love for you. Prayerfully study his word and bring your requests to him. God delights when we seek to know him and look to him for strength, wisdom, and peace. The Lord will give us power to do these things as we abide in him. He gives us power to deal with things in our earthly homes in a way that encourages us and makes him real to us and brings honor and glory to him. Ephesians 3:16-17a, that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And this is another translation for that last part, that Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts by faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins and giving us the Holy Spirit as a seal, as our down payment, and that we have him in our hearts forever to strengthen us, to teach us, to give us peace, and to comfort us through the Word of God. As we learn about you, the Holy Spirit changes us through knowing, seeing the Word of God and showing us things. Even most of the time, we don't even know what's happening. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would just encourage all these ladies and then open their eyes to opportunities to maybe encourage others. And pray that we all could use our homes to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.